irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to The Writer's Block with Jim Christina and Russ Avison right here on LA Talk Radio.
Lost it in the wind, got to find a way to get it back. Time is time is time, harmonies can land. Give me some time if you can. The way we are going, it don't mean a thing right now. You don't have some time to spend with me. Know you are afraid of me, so let's put that to an end. Let's get together once again.
And here we are, and this is LA Talk Radio. Of course, you're listening to The Writer's Block. I am your host extraordinaire, sitting in my little tiny studio in Star, Idaho, and becoming me, Jim Christina. Russ is going to be joining us in just a minute. He's having some audio problems. So I'm going to go ahead and introduce our guest for this evening, because she is just she's a treat. And she is your typical girl. She loves the sunset, loves long walks on the beach, world travels. And when not playing the corporate part, she can be found sipping wine and spending all of her hard-earned money on shoes. I don't know how many shoes you think you can own, but among her friends and family, Miranda O is known to be the storyteller of the group, always recapping crazy little stories and situations. Her personal experiences, emotions, and fantasies are the inspiration for most of her books. So there's a little bit of her in every story. Would you please welcome back to the Writer's Block for her second appearance, Miss Miranda O. Hey, Miranda. I'm looking now at three books. Now, this is the last one in your trilogy.
Last one of the trilogy, but not last that you'll see of me. Good things come in threes. So, you got to end it and appreciate it and then move to something new.
Well, sure. And having read, now the name of your series is Chin Up, Tits Out. Yeah. And you have When All Else Fails, Remember No Matter What, and Just Breathe are the three books.
Yep.
And we follow Hadley on her trials and tribulations with getting married to a South African and cancer and divorcing. And now she's on the cusp of her 30th birthday and not quite sure where to go with her life. And it's kind of cool to read Just Breathe, because it kind of just puts a whole new light on Hadley, period. Tell us a little bit about this book, if you wouldn't mind.
Yeah, for sure. So this book really takes what it is to hit rock bottom in your life. And now we all hit our proverbial rock bottom at some point, whether it's in our 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, whenever, whether it's whatever, right? We all hit that point in our life at some point. And right. I wanted to strip that down and be as relatable as I can be to it. And it was Hadley had hit rock bottom. Her dying husband walked out on her. After over a year of battling cancer and mental illness and addiction, plus long distance relationships between North America and Africa, right? There was so much. And then at that point, she was like, oh my, what is left of me? What is left of me? The only thing that I was living for by the time it all ended, walked out willingly. And so this book took that really painful moment and said, how do you get through this? And how do you take all this negative and find a positive in it with this chin up, tits out attitude. So it really dives headfirst into self-love and what that looks like and how we as humans get stuck in our comfort zone and excuse ourselves to say, I'm going to take care of somebody else, whether it's my partner or my child or my parents. I'm going to do that because that's what duty calls me to do versus take care of myself. And at the end of the day, if we don't take care of ourselves, we can't take care of any of those people. So it really explores that growth and that transition and that realization that there is a difference between self-care, self-love, and selfishness. And self-care, self-love is integral. It's crucial in order to love wholly anybody or anything else.
Ah, okay. The philosophy behind the opening music to this particular program, the name of the song is Time is Time, and it's about learning patience in your life. And it's exactly what Hadley had to learn. Be patient because your life is going to come regardless.
Exactly. And I think as 20s, you know, in that your decade of your 20s, even as children, as teenagers, I just remember having something happen and it feeling like it was the end of the world.
Oh, absolutely.
And now it's like something happens and I ask myself, if I don't answer this right now, is the world going to end? And if the answer is no, I'm like,
I think I think we've all gone through that. I mean, this particular song, Time is Time, I actually wrote that song when I was 30.
And, wow.
You know, and I was still learning. I had kind of a messed up 20s, and I was still learning how to be patient with other people and myself primarily. So that's where that song came from. But that, you know, each one of your covers, and I really have to admire the covers on you because they're very colorful. They're very colorful. And every single one of them has balloons. Is there a significance to the balloons?
You know, it's funny. I want to say no, it just randomly happens that way. And then when I say it randomly happens that way for the first cover. And then I'm like a tight personality that is all about consistency and continuity. Like my corporate job, I create internal and external material that's used for a bunch of stuff, whether it's training or marketing, et cetera, et cetera. So my job is to make sure that material looks like it's coming from the same source all the time. So when the balloons hit and happened and stuck, it was like, that's it. That's all that's happening. That's all that can happen now. So my A-type psycho personality took over a little bit, but I think the balloons do represent, and this came, I guess, like, I don't know, synchronicity, right? It came through random attachment, but the balloons signify that kind of just let it go. Essentially, just let it go. If it's meant to be ours, it will come back. If we love it and we let it go, then we know that it's on its way to more beautiful things. Like, I'm not too entirely sure. There's probably some sort of deep subconscious in there, but no, there was not an intentional connection to all three of them with balloons.
maybe you just like balloons.
I don't even know. I don't particularly buy balloons for events or any birthdays. Like, it happened and it stuck. And when you have that feeling, when I have that gut feeling inside, I stick with it and I'm like, do it. So it just stuck that way.
Oh, well, I mean, they extremely fit the story on Just Breathe, because it's almost like, okay, I've got these now, I can let them go. I can just let them go, and it's who I am is going to stay here.
Exactly. All the balloons represent all the stuff that we deal with on a day-to-day basis, and we let it go, and it floats off, and it's this big, bright, beautiful thing that's filled with nothing but air.
Exactly.
Right? Like at the end of the day, all the anxiety and the fear and the depression and the anger and all the emotions are conjured up in our brain, right? Like it's not a tangible thing all the time. Right. So like, see, there you go. That's the subliminal subconscious there.
There you
go. Let it go.
Yeah. Well, your last visit with us was in August of 2018. And I don't believe I asked this question then, so I'll ask it to you now. As you were writing these books, what made you start writing? I got the fact that there was a lot of history that welled up inside that, you know, some of it true, some of it not true, some fiction, some real, some, I mean, it's all, and as you said yourself, I you know, I'm a good storyteller. So, you know, it's a, how much is a story and how much is you? But what made you start the first book? Because the first book's just like a little novella. It's just, what, 72 pages or something? It's not very big.
Something like that.
And then your second book is
monstrous. Yeah, what? It's funny. I think the first book, like the initial one was, or the initial get up and go was, I had a transition in my life career-wise, which gave me more time. And when I had more time, everything that I was proverbially running away from, you know, the cancer, the abandonment, the separation, the mental illness, all of that, it, when you work so much and you dive back into life head first, you don't necessarily process, right? So when I got that time, all these thoughts just came rushing back into my mind. I'm like, oh my God. Oh my God. What am I going to do with them? Like I needed to do something with them. And a friend of mine wrote a book and it was a nonfiction business 101. I don't even remember, but nothing to do with fiction or anything to do with what I wanted to create or what I thought I wanted to create. But I called him, I said, let's do this. I want to talk about creating a book. I think I need to get this out. Like I just need to get it out. And we sat over a couple cocktails and chit-chatted and I had full intentions on writing the whole story in one book. But at the end of writing the first book, I kind of hit this wall where I felt like this is enough. I can't write more. Imagine book one and two in one book. Like it just wouldn't work. Right.
Right.
So
right.
I decided at that point, you know, let's break it up. And then how do I break it up? Well, I'm all about threes. So good things happen in threes. So three books is what it was. And I was able to hammer off book one and two within a year of each other. And when it came to writing book three, it was like, oh, girl, you got some learning and some living and some, like, internal assessment that you need to do before you can actually write this book. So then, you know, I got sick for a little while. So that happened. But then that actually allowed me some time to really grow and assess from book one and two and learn what I could to be better as an author, as a storyteller, as a business owner. And then book three is now out. So yeah, it's all been kind of a whirlwind, but stemmed from a place of you need to process your own feelings and writing was a way to do that. And I come from a business of entrepreneurs. So like, why not try to make money?
Sure. Why not? You're working on this book, actually, we've worked on this book with you. Your prologue, I just love your prologue. And it's just, if you don't mind, I'm going to read a little bit of it because it's quite telling. It's quite telling about the rest of the way the book is going to go. And this is the way it starts. It's just actually prologue. I awoke slowly, struggling to become aware of my surroundings. I forced my eyes open and tried focusing on a small, blurry, square-shaped hole in the wall as I lay in bed. I blinked a couple more times, trying to get my eyes cleared of the haze and blurriness that refused to subside. And as I worked to gain visual focus, a sharp pain stabbed at my right temple, causing me to squeeze my eyes shut again. Take a deep breath, Hadley. I inhaled deeply until my lungs were filled to capacity, the way they teach you in yoga class. On my exhale, I opened my eyes once again to the hole, the pain in my right temple refusing to subside. This time, the pain made my stomach spiral as bile crawled up my throat. Afraid of throwing up in bed, I shot up into a sitting position. Holy crap, Hadley, what have you done? I love that. It's just so descriptive. And having been there a couple times myself, I get it.
Right? Like, oh man, that's unfortunately a way too often occurrence for me. But, and that's what I was able to write about it. So, how, you know how that feels just by that opening. Absolutely. And that's really what I try to do is we go through tough stuff and we all think the same things during those moments,
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. And then she finds out that she's laying in bed with another naked guy and she goes, holy crap. what did I do?
Yes, that's what I did. Remember that. Yeah.
Now,
sets you up right for the book.
There you go. Now, Miranda O is not your real name. That is your nom de. And I won't divulge your real name, although I do know it. unless you want to. But, Miranda is fine with us and most of our listeners. So we'll just keep it at Miranda.
Right.
Okay. I believe, Ronan, if we're still there and you're still working with Russ, we'd love to do a little word for LA Talk Radio because, of course, they are one of our sponsors and they're just great people. So if you are capable, Ronan, if you wouldn't mind. Hey, it's Jim Christina here for LA Talk Radio. And if you're like me and you love talk radio, but you just can't find anything worth listening to in that pesky little AM dial, then how about this? How about you tune into LA Talk Radio? You see, LA Talk Radio is the biggest and the best in LA and is a .com, so we have it all from sports to music to self-help to, well, just about anything including talk. And right now it's coming right at you. Why don't you sit back and enjoy at www.latalkradio.com. And it is now 7:17. We are on the phone with Miranda O, the writer of a trilogy, the Chin Up Tits Out trilogy, and we're talking about her newest book, Just Breathe. And also, there's if you want to call and talk to Miranda, if you're lucky enough, I understand that we are having problems with the phones and stuff in the studio, but if you would like to call and try to talk to Miranda, the number here in the studio is 818-602-4929. Again, that number is 818-602-4929, and if that's you, Russ, yes, we can do this from your cell phone. So, anyway, back to Miranda. Okay. Chin Up, Tits Out, 1, 2, 3, Just Breathe, the last book in the series. Now, let's talk about, you got something coming up on the 28th. Why don't you all tell our listeners what's going on the 28th, because I'm excited.
We gonna have a party. Simply put, we're going to have a party. You honestly, one of my favorite things about being an author or being an artist, let's say, because all artists can do this, is officially sharing it with your family and your friends and kind of your local people. And so next Friday on the 28th, I'm hosting a book launch party at a local cafe called Fourth Cafe. It's this total hipster cafe in this historical building in the Exchange District in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada. It's absolutely beautiful. And they've been so generous to give me their space for the evening. And they're like, you do. And I'm like, yes. So people get to come get books. I'm going to actually be reading from all of my books throughout the evening. And my dog is going to be there. I'm so excited. She's going to be the official greeter. and we're going to eat and drink and be merry and share laughs and take pictures. And honestly, this is that's my favorite time of creating a book is putting on a celebration for my people to celebrate with me.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I absolutely agree with you. I've had some really wonderful book signings. Mm-hmm. You get to talk about the story and you get to read some of the book, and it's just like a lot of fun. Whoa.
Oh, it is. Honestly, I have to wear waterproof makeup because I'm guaranteed to like sob like an emotional disaster throughout the night. Like my second book launch, it took me everything I had not to let tears roll down my face. Uh-huh. When I saw it packed. I was like, the book's so packed. And people like standing, overflowing. And it was just, it was one of those moments where you're like, yo, y'all are here for me? What? Well, you at the right place?
Yeah. The second book was kind of a tearjerker anyway. But the third book is like a totally different story. It's like this big, huge light of hope.
Yes. You know, yes.
I'm going to recoup. I'm going to recover.
My mom calls it the alternative ending, the different perspective of the Cinderella story.
Right.
As to, instead of looking at the happily ever after with Cinderella and Prince Charming, we look at all of the people and you know, friends that helped Cinderella through everything and all the life lessons that were learned through that story. You know, you take a look at that versus the happily ever after. Because, like, let's be frank here. No man in today's society is going to chase me down if I lose my shoe at the end of the night after partying and dancing.
I don't know. Nope. Hold still. Hold still. I will.
Oh, there he is. Hello, Mr. Avison. Russ.
How are you doing?
Good.
I mean, could not be more perfect.
Well, say hello to Miranda, Russ.
Hello, Miranda. Hi. How are you?
Great. How are you?
Good. Hey, I enjoyed your book, and I just kept wishing I was chocolate.
Right? You go to every time.
Because I'll tell you what, I would chase you down if you dropped your shoe.
Oh, thank you. And you know what? That makes me happy. Chivalry is not dead.
At least not where he's concerned.
But then I'm hanging out with a bunch of dogs, and I mean four-legged dogs. So
that's true. The dog man.
The dog man.
Well, Russ, in case I know you've been trying to get on the air. We've been discussing her book, Just Breathe. And the way the three books came about, and I know you have a question or six, so rock to it.
I do. I talked to you with Jim after your first book, and I did not read the second book, but okay. I finished your third one, which I thoroughly enjoyed, and I think I feel closer to you after this one now, but. A couple of things. I know that it's based somewhat on your life story, but you know, you changed some of the characters and things. Okay, I have to first ask, how true was Las Vegas?
Oh God, it was pretty true. It was pretty true. Like massive panic attack on the flight on the way down. Can't breathe. Oh my God. What's the safe word? And my cousin was like, can you calm down? And I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. You're like the whole time I was just anxiety stricken, like waiting for the bottom to drop out. And then she found her tea, her British crumpet. And I was like, all right, girl, you gotta get your stuff sorted. Like get your life sorted and go. So we did.
Oh, that's nice. I like that. You know, and I don't want to give anything away about the latter part of the book because there's some interesting things that happen that tie it all together. But one of the things you talked about is suffering from PTSD. And I was wondering, because usually you associate that with, you know, soldiers coming home from war.
I asked my therapist the exact same. I was like, PTSD. I was like, I am not a soldier. I have never picked up a gun outside of a water gun. Like, yo, I think you need to give your head a shake, Mr. Therapy, that's costing me $200 for 45 minutes. And then he started to explain to me how the flashbacks that I was experiencing and how I would freeze in my moment right here, right now. But my mind would be back in the turmoil of something that was really bad that happened with the cancer or the addictions or, you know, just a bad moment. And you couldn't break me out of that. And when he explained to me that that was post-traumatic stress disorder, that it's not just associated with soldiers, it's associated with trauma. Mm-hmm. That once you experience trauma, anything that triggers a feeling of that, oh my God, am I going to be there again? You immediately go back to that moment, full mind, body, spirit, even though it's not mind, body, spirit, it's just your mind, right? But that's where you think you are. And those attacks were consuming. But once he explained it to me, I was like, oh, okay. So now it's like, how do I cope with this? How do I get through this? And then it became this, you know, a few year journey, you know, of figuring out how to deal with that and come through it and manage it.
How do you feel now?
Oh, I feel great. I mean, it's always going to be there, but it's not necessarily like, oh my gosh, I have moments of the addiction that throw me off. Like, that doesn't throw me off kilter anymore. But what it has made me now is make me more aware of my mental balance.
Sure.
So if I feel like I'm a little bit anxious, then I know that I'm putting myself too far in the future and throwing myself in hypothetical failure situations or failed situations. If I'm feeling depressed and down, it's because I'm putting myself too far in the past. I'm thinking I'm wanting what's in the past, or I'm scared of what's in the past, right? So I always have to consciously remind myself to be present in the right here, right now. How do you feel? Does your head hurt? Do your migraines pain? No. Okay, you're good. And then you just hammer.
Are you hungover? There you go. Let me ask you, Miranda, because post-traumatic stress is something that a lot of people wound up with, both in Afghanistan, Iraq, Vietnam, World War II, mm-hmm. Korea. Mm-hmm. Does the sight and sound of a certain song or a smell bring you back to a moment that you now can handle? Makes you melancholy, but it makes the memory come more vivid.
I think smells and songs and moments remind me of the past consistently. And I'm at a place in my life where 90% of the time when I hear a song or something, and that trigger, it triggers a positive memory. And the 10% that triggers a negative memory, it's like, oh, okay, but wait, look how far you've come from that moment, or what did you learn from that moment? Now, luckily, I've written extensively about my mistakes throughout my 20s, or at least my decisions, so whether you want to call them mistakes or not, I don't know. But, like, okay, let's call them decisions. So
growth experiences?
Yes, exactly. Growth experiences. I wrote extensively about them, which gave me an opportunity to assess from all angles. It's not like I write it out once and then I hand it out and there's the book. It's I write, I reread, I think. Does that make sense? Does it make sense, or do I just sound like I'm crazy. Like, I know I'm crazy, but like not crazy. Because there is a difference, obviously. I've had the chance to really assess my experiences front ways, back ways, sideways, always. Then I've also had people edit those experiences, explaining their opinions to me, going, this doesn't, you know, et cetera, right? That's another layer of assessment and analyzing my experiences. And so that's kind of taught me that it's like, when you make a decision, you should probably analyze your choices. And if you don't analyze your choices before you make the decision, then analyze why you made that decision so you can adjust your decision-making in the future. Like, you know, it's always being self-aware.
Well, you know, it's interesting. You were talking about you would start to possibly get anxious if you were putting yourself too far in the future or if you were allowing yourself to float too far in the past. And so it seems like it's almost like walking a tightrope that you've got to keep that right balance. And is that something that you have to consciously do all the time or just daily, when you feel something changing?
I think it's daily. I think it's right now. I say it out loud because it's the book launch and everything, but I am saying it daily right now. But it is a daily conscious choice to be in the present. I mean, let's just take it. I'm a 30-year-old chick. I'm divorced. I'm single. I date people. So, like, I constantly have this challenge of saying, I am perfectly okay where I am right now versus I'm thinking in the past going, oh my God, I miss having that companion, that marriage, that husband, that person, that level of commitment, that level of openness, and that level of trust, right? Somebody can go down into that spiral and be depressed super easy. Then you add winter. We're in the middle of winter right now. It's -1,000 and there's several feet of snow. Boom, depression. Or I could go into this, I am never going to find anybody that's going to love me or that I'm going to feel open with or that I'm going to trust again. And then, oh my God, a full-blown panic attack because I feel like I'm going to be alone forever and then be the crazy dog lady when I'm like 65 and nobody's going to find me when I die for 2 weeks. It's like, I can go two ways every single day. And that's just because of my relationship status, that's just a daily chick thing.
You'll wind up with a house full of cats. Don't worry about it. You'll always have company. Hey, look, we need to take a real quick break. And I have to tell you, if you're going to go someplace and you live in Southern California and you're anywhere near Fillmore, then All Dogs Rule is the place you want to take your dog because they're like awesome. And why don't we kick back and listen to about 45 seconds worth of All Dogs Rule and what they can do for you. You know, if you're in the Ventura area and you're planning a trip and remember there's no way you can take your canine buddy, how about considering All Dogs Rule Day Camp and Sleepover? That's right, All Dogs Rule Camp and Sleepover is the premium place for your four-legged friends to spend their time away from you. Located on the beautiful Sespe River, if you want a place where you know your buddy will be safe and have lots of attention, being able to play with other dogs, goats, sheep, horses, and even more humans, then All Dogs Rule is the place for you. There's acres of play space, lots of grass, and bountiful orange trees, all with no stress, and a nice list of extras available if you'd want, just ask. So when your dog returns home, you'll have to ask whose vacation was better. Check out their website at alldogsrule.com or give them a call, 805-524-1100. Your dog will thank you.
Wow. That was what happened to that?
I was ugly. Anyway, All Dogs Rule, 805-524-1100. And you can personally talk to Russ Avison directly because he's sitting right here in the studio. Actually, he's not. He's sitting at his home.
I'm sitting at home.
Yes. Yes.
So I'm in Fillmore, California. And Miranda, you're in Winnipeg, right?
She's in Winnipeg. And I'm in beautiful downtown Star, Idaho.
Idaho.
Well, it's like I told my sister one night, she was being a brat. She goes, well,
She said something, and she goes, "Oh, you're Idaho?" I said, "No, you the bitch, Idaho." So anyway, there you go. Anyway, we're we're back at 7:40. We're on the phone with Miranda Oh, and we finally picked up Russ Avison somewhere along the side streets of Fillmore. And if you want to call and talk to Miranda, and again, there's problems with the phone line, so if you don't get through, don't be mad. Keep trying, or just say you always did try, and that was it. But the number
you don't get through. Wait, if you don't get through, if you don't get through, right? Head up, tits out.
There you go. Yeah, chin up, tits out. So the number is 818-602-4929. And again, write it down. That number is 818-602-4929. And Russ, we were sitting here talking about her book that is, she's kicking off her book sales on Friday the 28th, which is a week from tomorrow. And
yeah, yeah.
She was telling me about the pâté that she has planned. And she's doing three shows for that day. And I don't know how you're going to do it, Miranda. Those are tough. One is hard.
I am so looking forward to, you have no idea. Like, I have an agenda with color coordinated names and people with duties, and all of the people that are important to my life have duties for the evening, except for my parents, because I mean, like, they've done enough, so they can just sit and enjoy. So yeah, my brothers are on greeter and camera duty. I have friends that are working technology for live feeds. So then I have a friend who's working the book sales for me. So he's excited. But the three, I'm reading from three books throughout the night, or all three books throughout the night. And, I have a little something to go with each of the passages, and they kind of, they're going to build, you know, like crescendo at the end. I don't know if I'm using that word right. I think I am. I may not be. But anyways, it's going to like explode at the end of the night with the third book. The passage from the third book is going to be read at the end of the night. And I'm so excited. I even bought a dress with matching shoes. Like, you got to have an outfit.
This is my chick stuff.
It's just a pants and a shirt.
It's the chick stuff.
It is. It's totally a chick thing. And like it's so funny. I think you opened up saying that I spend all my hard-earned money on shoes. And this past weekend, I went out and I bought my outfit for the book launch. And I obviously had to buy a pair of shoes that matched. And then I was walking past the clearance, and there was this really beautiful pair of black boots, and they were on clearance for like $25, and they were ready, or they were regular, like $100. And I looked at my girlfriend, I'm like, no way. So I bought them. So I didn't need them, but I just purchased two pairs of shoes this last weekend. So,
well,
there is
girls
a
have too many shoes.
No. I mean, you have to have a pair of shoes for all occasions. Guys' shoes is easy. You need a black pair and like a neutral color, whether that's like any shade or brown, and a pair of sandals and a pair of runners. And
I see. Okay.
You've kind of got us all figured out, don't you?
Yeah.
I think now, I am in a female body, but sometimes I have the mind of like a 16, 17-year-old boy sometimes.
Oh, well, this 16 or 17-year-old boy never went shopping. I had one pair of shoes.
Yeah, that your mother probably bought you.
No, I bought them myself. I bought them myself. I did.
Good.
I worked when I was a youngster. I worked hard, actually.
So did I. I had three jobs by the time I was 15.
Yeah, I hear you.
It was insane.
So I listened to about three quarters of your last interview that we did with you, and I was towards the end, and Ronan called me, so I had to shut you down. But I don't know if we asked you this question, but I'm going to ask it to you now. And if I did it before, I'm sorry. But
that's okay.
It's curious to know, because the name of the program is The Writer's Block, and have you had writer's block? And if you have, what did you do to get out of it?
Oh, wine. Simply put, wine. That was how I got out of it.
I like it.
Yeah, you know what? Honestly, my writer's block came from mental block. Like, it wasn't that the words weren't there. I wasn't ready to put the words down on paper.
Gotcha.
I don't know if that makes any sense. But, you know, again, I'm writing about really heavy topics and they're raw. And when I write, I purposely try to evoke emotion. I want my readers to laugh alongside of me. I want them to cry. I want them to feel angry and despair and feel however Hadley felt at that moment. You know, the inner conflict consistently. And so writing that is exhausting. It's brilliant, but it's so exhausting. So if I'm not mentally in a space to pour it all out, I can't. I'll sit at my computer and it's like 10 o'clock on a Saturday morning and I'm ready with my cup of coffee and I'm like, do I need to put Bailey's in here? I don't know. Is it too early? And then but nothing. So I've learned to just not force it. And when I'm ready, I just open the computer and it just comes and it floods out of me. So I just don't force it anymore. I let it come naturally and mm-hmm. less writer's block. Sometimes it takes longer to write books though.
How long did this one take you to write?
2 years.
And how long did the other two take?
Well, 20 minutes. The first one, yeah, pretty much. The first one took about 20 minutes. I would say three months from the time I started with that cocktail meeting with my friend going, I want to write a book. Let's make this happen. To the time I actually uploaded it to Amazon was about 90 days, maybe like 110, something along the lines of that. So I was very, very fast. The second book, I started writing within about 6 months of the launch, and then I published it 6 months or 5 months later. So I think there was about 11 months between the actual published dates of book one and book two. Mm-hmm. And now we're going on about 2 years from the last publishing date. So mm-hmm. This book definitely took longer for me to write, but it was just, I wasn't in a space in my life to finish the story. I didn't have an ending. I could have made it up. But then again, how do I evoke real, raw emotion
mm-hmm.
From something that I haven't experienced yet? And so I try to really write in depth about things that I've experienced. And that helps me grow as a human being, right? So I'm trying to twofer, like kill two birds with one stone type thing.
Did you by any chance when you wrote the first two, were there things that you were thinking about putting in those books that you ended up holding off and putting in the third book?
And no.
I understand there's a timeline there too that wouldn't have fit necessarily with everything.
No, you know what? I think the life lessons or the aha moments or whatever you want to call them that came out in each of the books naturally came out in my life during that phase. So I would love to say, yeah, I totally planned it out that way and do a little hair flip looking all suave like I have my life organized. But no, like, I successfully trip on flat ground, fall up the stairs and choke on air, my friends. A lot of the life stuff that happens, I kind of plan, but it just evolves into something over time. So I let it happen.
Well, in the words of Rico Suave, who is also at this point, Miranda O, her very own words will come back to haunt her. And they are, bitches, let's kick some ass. And remember, chin up, tits out.
Let's kick some ass.
There you go.
Why not?
There you go. Hey, we're going to take another real quick break, and we're going to talk about Creative Edge, Miranda, and you know this guy.
Ooh, yeah, just a little.
Just yeah, so enough. Let's hear a little bit about Creative Edge publicity.
Oh, Creative Edge.
Okay, you've written a book. Now what are you going to do? Well, why don't you give Creative Edge publicity a try? You see, when Creative Edge publicity was founded in 2016, they immediately showed they weren't the same as other publicity firms. Like an old pair of shoes or an old friend, they work closely with their individual clients' needs and goals and push harder to get them noticed. Creative Edge believes that communication is an important part of the partnership, and that model is how they have built their success. They collaborate and they work with local, national, and international media outlets and organizations to meet their clients' goals. So Creative Edge, it's your brand, your future. Mickey Mickelson Publicist, and you can find them at www.creative-edge.services.
And Mickey is not only Miranda's publicist, but he's also mine. And he's also a sponsor of the Writer's Block radio show. So there you go. Great guy, huh, Miranda?
Oh, isn't he? He's so special.
He's a hard-working man. He's a hard-working guy.
Like, he brings a whole new level to hustle. We did a tour together for my first book back in 2016, and it was kind of an impromptu thing, and we spent like 2 weeks on the road together, and then when it was our last day, we're like, well, that sucks. I don't want to go home. Like, I want to go home. Like, I really want to go home, but like, I don't want to go home. Both of us totally enjoyed what we were doing, and he was in his element, calling all the bookstores in the neighborhood and, you know, rekindling old connections, and, you know, and then super proud, like, this is Miranda and this is her book, and I'm going to represent her. And this was even before Creative Edge was began,
right?
Before
yeah.
I even knew what all this trilogy was going to come to. And after that 2 weeks, we were like, this is it. Like, you can't stop doing this.
No, I got to tell you, he watches over you like he's your daddy. So.
Oh, I know. It is absolutely amazing.
It is.
He is a confidant. He is a friend. And he hustles. Like,
he does.
He hustles so hard. You know, I wake up sometimes I don't even keep up with his emails during the week. Like, there's just certain times I can't, I'm like, I'll deal with you on the weekend, but he hustles all the time. And then there are Saturdays or Sundays where I have a dozen emails with opportunities, you know, and it's just like, okay, go read them. Are they right for you? Yes, they are right. Like, what do you got? Like, it's just, he brings a whole new level of, like you said, communication,
right,
opportunity, different levels of opportunity. Sometimes he's like, right, you need to be here at this time and do this and don't do that.
Right.
And then there are times that he's like, here's an opportunity. Is this something that you guys as a team would be interested in? Like, he goes all the way from like all levels of going right down to the nitty gritty, be here at this time and your details versus here's an opportunity, take it or leave it. And it's consistent. And I think he's an integral part of my success. I don't think I would ever not have a service like his put in place if I were to continue down the path of being an author. I think it's necessary.
He's great. You know, we're out of time.
Sure.
Oh, go ahead, Russ. We're out of time.
That was a great commercial for me.
It was. So I'll just go ahead and send your bill to Mickey.
Yeah, right.
Well, we're out of time, Miranda. And thank you so much for sitting there in your jammies with your, I'm assuming, a glass of wine. And
with me too.
Discussing your books with us and talking about your kickoff on the 28th. And where can people reach you? You have email and website, Facebook, what?
Yeah, for sure. Well, simply put, if you chin up, tits out, and Google, you'll find me. It's pretty easy. But my website is MirandaOH.com. You can Instagram me, Facebook me, or Twitter me. You can just search up Miranda O or Chin Up, Tits Out on all three of those platforms. I pop up either way. And you can also find all three of my books on Amazon.
Yes, you can. And any of the online booksellers, actually, because they're there.
So, oh, yes. Thank you.
So thank you again for joining us. It's been great having you. And I wanted to personally thank you for the nice little comment you gave us at the back of Just Breathe. It was very nice.
Oh, yeah.
We appreciated that.
Yeah, didn't I say something about threes in there, too?
Yeah, she did.
You're welcome.
And so anyway, thanks again for joining us, and we're going to have to sign off, but golly, just keep it up. I mean, you're doing great work.
Thank you. I'm so appreciative of your time and all the love and support.
Well, you're welcome, and take care.
Bye-bye, Miranda.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
So, next week, we've got a great show coming up. We have Dale Jackson will be with us in the studio here in my little studio in Star, Idaho. And he's bringing along a special guest. Barry Quayle will be with us. He's been writing for a number of years, and he's got a column he does for the Enterprise, Oregon newspaper. So he's going to be here with us. And, golly, Rush, what happened? I'm glad you were able to join us finally.
You know, two new computers with Skype, and neither one of them would recognize. Well, they recognized my microphone, but they wouldn't work. So I had to come back into another office where I knew I had older version. That's Windows 10 for you.
I know. Mine will automatically change microphones. So sometimes Ronan will call me and he can't hear me.
Oh.
So I have to go in and find the microphone that I'm using and put it back over there. And then, because I have my mixing board here and everything.
Right.
So, I mean, we spent 15 minutes one night dialing this thing in so it sounds natural. So I'm pretty happy with it.
Well, good for you. I'm not very happy with mine. I missed out on the first 15 minutes.
Well, you sound great.
Well, I look great, too.
Well, I know that.
I have the perfect face for radio, as they say.
Yeah, that's what they say. I mean, you know, me too. And the older I get, the more perfect face I have for radio. So there you go. All right, my friend. You showing up late, you did a great job. We love having you.
Thank you. I enjoyed being here for the little time that I was, but next week I promise I'll be here for the whole time.
Perfect. Perfect. And again, next week's guest is D.B. Jackson, Dale Jackson, and he's actually recently moved to Nampa, Idaho, which is about 10 miles from me. We'll be welcoming him and his guest, Barry Quayle. And until then, for Bobby Jean Bell and Russ Avison and myself and the Writer's Block and L.A. Talk Radio, we're out of here.